Hello, everyone, and welcome to Celestial Weather. This is an astrological forecasting show where we talk about planetary weather, so what the planets are doing in the heavens and how their movements influence our lives here on Earth. So my name is June Rose Trimbach. I'm an astrologer in Olympia, Washington, and today is Monday, August 20th, 2018. So thank you for listening to the show today. And I will mention that I was off last week. I definitely got swallowed up by the eclipse and swallowed up into my 12th house. So I spent a lot of time sort of internally dealing with some things. And so I think we should do a little recap about the eclipse and then just talk about what's going on this week. This summer has been pretty difficult. It's, you know, early in the years I was looking at this summer and other astrologers were looking at this summer. Most people were really saying how this summer looks pretty difficult, and you know, so I hope everyone is doing okay and coping as much as they can. For some people, I'm sure that there's some really wonderful things that have happened, and of course that's totally normal. Astrology affects us all differently, and so yeah, so it's interesting, and I think there's a lot of really amazing things that eclipses can bring. They can bring really, really important events into our lives. They can be sort of catalysts that just sort of make important things happen or important things line up with eclipses, but they're not all equally important for everyone, right? So if you have an eclipse in your first house, in the sign of your ascendant, or the sign of your sun, for example, it's going to, you know, be a bigger deal than if you're having an eclipse, say, in your 12th house, you know, like I was just having. It's maybe more of an internal experience, right? So we always have to, you know, just have an open mind about things and realize that, you know, if someone has something like Jupiter in their 10th house and Leo, you know, and an eclipse is hitting that, something actually really good could happen, you know. And so we have to, you know, treat it, you know, with an open mind. But eclipses, no matter what, they do tend to bring up some aspect of the shadow or some aspect of hidden things, and there can often be sort of like important revelations or just realizations of things that are sort of in the darkness, or like kind of like the energy of darkness kind of surfacing. And you know, what is darkness and what does that mean? It's like things that you don't see, things that are hidden. So these can be hidden riches, right? These can be parts of ourselves that we realize are very strong parts of ourselves, right? That have kept us going. It can also be, you know, seeing parts of ourselves that hold us back or sort of feed off of negative energy or, you know, any number of things, right? So we're looking at some deep shadow work potentially with a lot of eclipses. So I think it's, you know, it's a good thing to reflect upon if there was something revealed or some kind of aspect potentially of Leo, of the Leo archetype, that might have been revealed. So looking at aspects of sort of valor and courage and leadership. And if there is, you know, what do those themes kind of bring up for you? Especially if you have any planets in Leo. And so I think it's just a time also to listen to the heart and listen to the valor and the courage that's in the heart, or if there's fear in the heart or grief in the heart, to also listen to that. And to sort of open up to an exploration just of what's in there. I think, you know, eclipses in Leo, I think this is a good way to work with them. Another way is to think about leadership. And, you know, there's a performative aspect to Leo that has to do with aristocracy or leadership and the performative aspect of it. And there is a creative kind of play that happens with Leo, and that happens in the heart. And I often think about groups of people and the idea of like the pride of lions. And in a way, there's a connection to power structure there in terms of who is at the center, who is the leader, who is the shining heart of a community. And sometimes the heart of a community can be toxic or can be sort of like a shadowy force, right? And so, you know, we're also seeing a lot of that collectively right now, really. Leadership that's coming more from a place of fear or hatred, dark places. And so one of the ways we can explore this is to just look for those places in ourselves, you know, and especially, you know, if we have Leo placements, you know, we might experience this more than others. But just looking at, you know, the idea of that, you know, the eclipsed sun in the heart, you know, it's time when like the shadows come over the heart. And sometimes, like I said, it's not always bad. It can be a really beautiful thing in your heart that was hidden that's coming out too. You know, we have to recognize that. And so these eclipses, you know, and this Leo eclipse could have also brought, you know, a beautiful expression of the heart or of creativity or leadership and community events as well. So we stay open to things. And of course, you know, wherever Leo is in your chart, whatever house that is, you would also look at the themes of that house, of course. So many possibilities there, but I think what I just want to say is that, you know, now's the time to really sort of integrate and wrap up some of these lessons, because, you know, we had three eclipses, and it's just, you know, the aftermath now. And so it's really good to just, I think, take some time to just, you know, just integrate it all, take some deep breaths, just come back to center, right? Because eclipses really tend to destabilize us. And sometimes that can be amazing, can open us up to great experiences, but we have to sort of come back into center now. And so, of course, we've also had Mercury retrograde for the last 3 weeks, but Mercury just went direct yesterday on Sunday. And I'm really happy about this. Mercury retrograde in my 12th, along with an eclipse in my 12th, has, you know, not been the easiest thing. So I'm happy to see Mercury move direct, and I think for a lot of us, we can kind of come back to our focus and our mental powers now, and come back to, you know, the material world, bring these back down to earth and focus on what's ahead of us, what's in front of us, tie up loose ends and kind of begin to move forward. Because we only have another week until Mars stations direct. And Mars has been retrograde for almost 2 months now. And this is really big, you know, this Mars retrograde has been one of the defining factors of this summer. And so if this summer has brought anything wild or interesting or difficult, or has brought energy also that might have invigorated you and given you courage, or drained your courage and made you feel exhausted, you know, Mars might have had something to do with this. So I've personally been on the spectrum mostly of feeling pretty drained most of the time. So, you know, but with Mars about to go direct again, we can really feel that there's a shifting tide right now, and that this week is really good for just, you know, returning your focus forward. Because it's like when things are retrograde, sort of like lots of things get stirred up, and it's almost like a limbo state a lot of the time. And limbo states are really great for explorations, for uncovering new things about ourselves and others, really great for sort of taking the opportunity to reassess if we're on the right path, or we need to go down a new path to sort of reevaluate, you know, what we've been doing. We kind of pull back and think, oh, maybe there's this other place that my energy really needs to be. And I think we can be really sensitive to that during retrogrades, which can be a real blessing. But, you know, as these two planets, Mars and Mercury, begin to move direct again, it's really going to be about coming back to center and really just thinking about what we need to do to move forward. So it's a really good time, I think. I think it's a great time for transitions. And, you know, just think, you know, use this week to really think about what, if you are in a transition, a state of transition, which I'm guessing that, you know, a good number of people maybe are feeling this, even if it's just in a small way or in one area of life, or just with like your mental attitude. Yeah, think about where your energy really belongs. What do you really need to focus on? Something that's, you know, true to your heart, true to the experiences that maybe have come up during the eclipse or come up, and maybe they've been challenged by this Mars retrograde. I personally have felt that a lot, like a lot of the energy that I put towards projects and creative projects has been sort of challenged, and I've had to sort of, you know, face the idea of, you know, is this really the right thing to do? Or face the idea of, you know, do I really have the strength to do this? Do I have the confidence to do this? Do I really believe in this? Is this really the right path? And so that's been, you know, a big thing with this Mars retrograde for me, personally. And I think it's just really about, I mean, on the one hand, yes, it's about willpower, but part of me is a little bit sometimes weirded out by that word, because it's not only about us cultivating our willpower to do something, I mean, it's also about being in right relationship with the path of our lives, the natural path as it unfolds before us, and, you know, listening to the voice of willpower, not as something that's generated by our own ego, but listening to it as something that is generated in the spark of our life, willpower as something that is of divine origin that lives within us and through us. And honoring that there may, in fact, be inside of us a divine spark that shows us the right way to go in life. And I think of retrogrades as a good time to pull back and try to listen to that spark and find that spark again and make sure we're in the right, we're on the right way. Okay, so there's something really nice about this Mercury stationing. So Mercury's stationary right now, so it's a great time to listen to the messages that Mercury is bringing us. And one of the really beautiful things about this, where Mercury is right now in the sky, is that it's actually conjoined the fixed star Accubens, which is the brightest star of Cancer. And so it's in the constellation of Cancer, and it's very close to Accubens. And so I want to just read a passage from Bernadette Brady's Book of Fixed Stars. It's a great reference, just about the concept. Accubens is the alpha star of Cancer, and therefore it might well carry the symbolism of the scarab beetle of Egypt, linking the star to the ability to come through difficult circumstances. Resurrection is the key concept, and it may translate to a certain perseverance which does not clash with Ptolemy's Saturn-Mercury combination. However, the star is far more than just perseverance. The star is linked with the energy of giving life, the gateway of life. And so that's from Bernadette Brady's Book of Fixed Stars. So this idea of the scarab being linked to resurrection and regeneration of life, we can, you know, the scarab being connected with Cancer, we really can feel into this possibility of rebirth, this possibility of, you know, we've just come through this very difficult eclipse season, Mars retrograde, and Mercury retrograde, and it's like, is it possible that we can be restored? And, you know, can the stars of Cancer, which are the gateway of life, as Bernadette was just saying in this book, because souls were seen in Egyptian times to enter this earth through the Cancer-Capricorn axis. So this idea of souls coming in through Cancer and this resurrection quality. And, you know, we can see that with tropically and sidereally, right? But I think there's a beauty here, and I personally feel there's a truth to this for me. It does feel like my mental faculties are regenerating and things are coming back online, and I'm, you know, coming to a new understanding, coming to a rebirth of understanding. And so I think this is a really beautiful way that we can think about this, and a beautiful energy that we can tap into or open ourselves up to. It's just this idea of mental regeneration and bringing in the waters of the Cancer constellation and, you know, the the beauty of, you know, honoring what happens when we go through a difficult ordeal and we have a shamanic death, right? When we kind of push ourselves to our limits and that if we go through that experience, you know, we can come out a different person or renewed. And so, you know, if this eclipse has been like that at all for you, you know, hopefully you're feeling some of the grace of the aftermath. And so we've got another week until Mars stations direct, but right now Mars is also making a proclamation. Because Mars is stationing direct in a week, and Mercury just stationed direct, for this whole week, both Mars and Mercury are both proclaiming. They're both at phasis. So this is a really interesting thing, because we have this sort of regeneration of Mercury in the mind, and there's a beautiful kind of even like spiritual restoration or understanding that can come through. And then we also have Mars, who is very close to its exaltation degree. And Mars is, you know, more confrontational or more sort of warlike. And so as if Mars is making a proclamation, there might also be a proclamation about our boundaries, our defenses, our power, our personal power and our personal will, and the way we choose to creatively express our will in our life and the passion and energy that we put forward. So it's a lot kind of coming forward right now. And so I think it's a really important week, actually. And I think because there's so much energy that's coming forward, that is sort of coming out, that is making a proclamation. It's like, you know, there's a lot to do. There might be a lot to do. There's a lot to do for me. And I think in terms of this, the astrology, it's like, it's getting to be the time to push forward. You know, it's like Mars is making that switch, and we might feel it more heavily next weekend. You know, the pushing forward with Mars, or the shift, the direction shift, right? Like, you know, it's like going slower and slower and slower, and then it's like the energy of like what it takes, you know, to redirect and start going the other way again. And so it can feel like, you know, slow. It can feel like a slow shift that's sort of like, you know, rearranging our insides, and it's like, oh, what's coming, you know, what's coming. But it's a good thing, and you know, collectively, you know, Mars making a proclamation can be a bit heated, and there can be things about severance and separation and violence, and you know, so it's not that there's not going to be anything difficult about this, because it's still, you know, the energy of changing direction when it comes to Mars can bring severance, it can bring endings and losses, and it can bring, you know, more individual focused experience or more combative experience. So it's not always, you know, there can still be, you know, a lot of power that kind of comes forward that can be startling, right, as Mars stations. But in terms of that sloggy feeling of, you know, being faced with all our challenges and having to, you know, confront the challenges of Mars retrograde, you know, that's going to be you know, lessening as the energy of Mars beginning to move forward will come in, right? And then it'll take a little while for Mars to pick up speed again and start moving at a good pace. And once that happens, you know, then it will be kind of cruising along. But so I think this week just has a really strong signature of just, you know, moving in a new direction, you know, and just moving forward. Yeah. So I mean, we did just have a really important transit. I think it was also yesterday. Jupiter trine Neptune. And, you know, maybe this is part of the reason I've been so dreamy and spaced out is Jupiter-Neptune trine. And, you know, we're still going to be under this influence for a while. So we still have this energy. But it's, it's a sort of dreamy, inspirational energy and the energy of, you know, connecting with spirit and connecting with things bigger than ourselves and opening ourselves up to mystery and possibility and exploring what it means to have faith, exploring what it means to have disillusionment when it comes to faith. And disillusionment is a big part of Neptune and a big part of the spiritual journey in life, I will venture out on a limb to say. You know, there are times when we're wrong, really wrong and misguided. And sometimes, you know, we fall into our own tricks and our own delusions and illusions and come out the other side. And, you know, what is left and what is the thing to move forward into? So there's some of that energy going on. But I think it's a good time to, you know, go to water, go to nature, make offerings to spirit, sing, get lost in song and dance and music and, you know, just kind of flow and connect with people. And, you know, so it's an interesting thing to have that going on at the same time. It's just kind of really different, you know, Mars and Mercury stuff. You know, but yeah, that's kind of how astrology is. It's like, you know, I think that's why we can feel really overwhelmed at times because, you know, the energy of the stars isn't always pulling us in the same direction in life. We're not always being pulled in the same direction. So those are some thoughts about that. I think there is a connection with the Jupiter-Neptune, dreamy, spiritual, illusory stuff with Mercury on Accubens, because there's a spiritual quality to Accubens. And so I think there is a connection there that has to do with the resurrection and with water, really quite strongly, and the idea of, you know, spiritual purification and rebirth, and how there's an aspect of that that is entering into the mystery. I almost said ministry, strangely enough. You know, maybe there's something there. But you know, because what does it mean to be reborn? You know, and not just in a Christian context, but just in a general spiritual context. There has to be, you know, a lot of the time it's sort of being reborn in the name of a spiritual entity or in the name of a spiritual concept. And I think there's something interesting about that idea because that requires faith, that requires a belief. And even if you're being reborn in the eyes of yourself or in the eyes of your inner teacher, in the eyes of your inner wisdom, I mean, it also requires faith and understanding. And there is something about this week that has this energy coming forward. So some ideas, you know, and so opening up to Jupiter and Neptune, we also have to be open, you know, to see our own delusions, you know, because if we open up to spirit, you know, and maybe it's because Saturn was rising when I started recording this. I had a really strong moment with Saturn right before I started recording this, where I was just kind of getting like a personal download from Saturn. And, you know, a lot of it was just about, you know, and the moon's applying to conjoin Saturn right now. And so this moment in time is very Saturnine for me where I am. But, you know, accepting limitation and defeat and failure and all of this. And, you know, I feel like there's something about Neptune that also brings us into failure and defeat, but it's through our own illusions and our own, you know, wild faith, right? You know, seeing the world through rose-colored glasses or whatever it is, you know, we fall into our own, you know, our own images, you know, into our own eyes. We're like falling into our own eyes. And, you know, is this always the case with Neptune? Or is there an aspect of Neptune that also wants to show us something, you know, through that process? You know, it's like falling into a mirror. And, you know, that happened in Star Wars, you know, staring into that mirror. You know, but what is the thing that exists within that experience that actually does have value and that can be a guide? And that is a big thing that interests me. Or, you know, what is the thing that takes you out of that experience or takes you deeper into it? So it's a, you know, it's peering over into the unknown, into the reflection pool. You know, it's like scrying. And sometimes it feels like when you're really onto something, your head sort of tingles or your body starts tingling. You know what I mean? Or you start to be filled with like a feeling, almost like bliss. And for me, that's kind of how I think I'm on the right track. But yeah, just some ideas there. So I guess I'll just check to see if there's anything else that I really wanted to mention. Venus is still happily in Libra, which is kind of nice. Oh yeah, there's a full moon. The full moon is on next Sunday, so in 6 days, on the 26th, a day before Mars goes direct. So we'll have the full moon at the same time that Mars is really stationary. And so that's, you know, that's pretty interesting. A full moon in Pisces, I think it's going to be kind of nice, actually. I mean, the energy of Mars stationing is going to be giving the weekend, you know, a bit of heat, a bit of strength and power, a bit of oomph. But I think the Pisces full moon could also soften that, and make things, you know, just a little bit more watery, cool things down a bit. But yeah, it can be that feeling of two different things, you know, pushing forward. We will actually get a Moon-Mars conjunction, looks like tomorrow, or excuse me, on Thursday. So, yeah, there might be some intensity the next few days with the Moon applying to Mars and Mars stationing. So yeah, there's going to be, you know, that energy of challenge and pushing forward. And then we get to the weekend, and yeah, it's interesting. It's Mars stations, stands still, it makes its proclamation. So something about that willpower that we were talking about earlier. And then the Pisces full moon comes in. It's really interesting. I mean, Pisces full moon, it depends what it's hitting in your chart. You know, it could be hitting something difficult in your chart, and so it might not be, like, totally wonderful for some people. But in general, you know, I think the Pisces moon is a really, really good time to just feel into things and feel your relationships and, you know. So it's nice that it will be happening, you know, around the same time as the Jupiter-Neptune trine. It's sort of building on that energy. You know, the ruler of the full moon is Jupiter and trining Neptune, so kind of pulls on this. You know, there's an added edge, though, because Jupiter's in Scorpio, which is ruled by that stationary Mars. So there's this added push. And one thing that I was really thinking about with Jupiter and Scorpio is, like, the scrutiny of belief. You know, you have that Scorpio skepticism and that analytical, manipulative mind. And that mind that's, you know, trying to probe for truth and these, like, deeper desires and motivations of people. And, you know, probe for that deep place of emotional willpower. And that's kind of what Scorpio is about. And also dealing with toxicity and poison and the process of healing from poison and healing from toxicity. But I think it's interesting with Jupiter there. It's like we're sucking out the toxicity of our beliefs, of our communities. I mean, you know, the process is, yeah, we're not always in the pretty phase of the process, right? You know, it can be very ugly. Like, what is the ugliness and, like, the grit of faith? And, like, who said this the other day? I forget where I was or what I was listening to, but someone said something about faith is like the sun. You know, if you only believed in it when you saw it, you know, you wouldn't have it all the time. So it's just an interesting thing. And it feels like there's something about that with Scorpio, like this, with Jupiter and Scorpio, because there's like this dark underbelly of Jupiter. And there's this thing about skepticism and rawness and like needing to test it and needing to kind of push it to its limit and see when will it break, you know? It's like, when will we lose it all? And, you know, and then will it come back up again? you know, will we get to the bottom of it? So there's a little bit of that going on, I think, this weekend and just in general with Jupiter and Scorpio. But yeah, I think that's an aspect of this week and in general. So yeah, I think I've said most of what I want to say, and, you know, just feel into it, you know, feel into the grittiness, you know, and the beauty, because it looks like there's both happening this week. So yeah, so let me just tune in and see if there's anything else that I should say. Yeah, I'm just actually seeing an image of sort of like a beach or like an island and a person sort of on the beach. I'm not sure if they're sort of stranded or yeah, it's an interesting kind of image because it makes me think of the survival aspect to Mars and it's like force that we have to exert to live, to continue to live. And, you know, that there's a connection to Scorpio there, like life and death. And then the idea of sort of being stranded in the ocean, sort of bringing in the Jupiter and Pisces energy, and Neptunian energy, and sort of like the need to have the willpower to survive, even as we're cast away in ourselves. I'm not sure if that's just a personal image or an image that would appeal to others, but that's sort of an interesting image for the week. So yeah, I think that's it for me. Yeah, it can be hard to survive, but we got to remember that it's important. So thank you so much for listening. My name is June Rose Trimbach. I'm an astrologer in Olympia, Washington. And I'll be back talking about the astrology for next week. Okay, thank you.